The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Ben Fields.
Sabrina Fields.
Melissa Delp.
Kevin Delp.
Valerie Gerton.
Larry, the intern.
Jenny...
John Emery,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
Oh man, we got so many people here. We are celebrating Labor Day, Tantrum House style. We got the entire crew here plus some, and we've been playing. Oh, we haven't played games yet. I lied. We're gonna play some games in just a second, but we wanted to intro our podcast and talk about some cool stuff we got coming up. Let's talk about one of those really fast. We've got a library game day coming up September 22nd. Is that right?
Yeah,
and yeah.
1 p.m.
Yeah, be there in Greenville. And we got John Emery, who is the owner of Boardwalk, here with us.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, John.
Why, thank you.
We've appreciated your sponsorship over the last year. We were just talking about how it's hard to believe that we got to episode 50, whatever episode 50,
55
is.
55 episodes.
Crazy. Give us a... You guys used to do some game days mm-hmm. in Greenville. Tell us a little bit about some of those and about some of the things that we're probably going to be pulling off in just another week or two.
Oh, it's just great fun. Come and play games. The library is a great host. Tantrum House are good people. We are going to be running demos there as they are, and there will be lots of games to play.
Yeah. The Boardwalk Library is, I don't know, do you guys keep a count on how many games you have in the library?
Lots.
Lots. We'll also be bringing lots from Tantrum House, so there'll be a bunch of stuff going on. I think there's a meetup out there. If you guys use Meetup, you can RSVP on that, and then we'd just love to have you come out. Yeah,
this is going to be at the main library downtown Greenville. I don't know if we were clear on that.
Yeah, so. We did a huge event last year. This is not going to be quite that scale.
It could be.
Maybe. Depends on how many people come. I guess that's true. We'll be doing a bunch of learn-to-plays. I think we talked about some of the games we're going to be doing. What are you doing, Sarah?
I will be teaching the Spiel des Jahres nominee Luxor.
Ooh. Kevin, that's me, and I'm going to be showing off Between Two Castles from Stonemaier Games. We have a published version to bring to show and do a learn-to-play.
Sweet.
I'm
Lost her voice.
She's sign languaging right now.
I think some other people are talking about maybe bringing Dragon Castle from Simon.
Yes.
Yeah, and Ryan, what are you going
to
do?
I'm going to be doing a learn to play for Gizmos. Pretty hot right now.
I'm thinking about doing Gunky Mono.
From Renegade Games?
Yeah. Cool. And I think Melissa was talking about doing Whistle Stop, maybe?
Whistle Stop, yes.
There it is.
I found my voice.
Whistle Stop from Bezier Games.
This episode, we're talking about 7 games coming to Kickstarter the week of September 10th. 2018.
Now we're going to jump into our episode sponsor shout out.
This episode is sponsored by Grand Gamers Guild. Their game, The Artemis Project, is going to be on Kickstarter September 12th.
You guys had the chance to play this, right?
Yes, we were at Origins and we got to play this with Daniel Rocky and some others. And it was awesome. Origins a couple years ago, and then we did it at Gen Con this year. So we actually played it twice, and we saw how the game has developed over the course of like a year and a half, and it's been pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
Of course, the illustrations are better, but
amazing.
even the gameplay feels a little bit more streamlined. They actually changed the theme. It used to be like mining or something.
On Venus.
On Venus. Now it's on one of the moons of Europa.
Which Europa is the moon, Jupiter.
Of Jupiter.
Oh, so, very cool.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jump into a house guest segment with Daniel Rocky. And welcome to the house, Daniel.
Hello. Pleasure to be here.
We are so glad that you're able to join us. Melissa and I will be doing the interview with you. And we're going to be talking about the Artemis Project coming out from Grand Gamers Guild. We're really excited about this.
I am too. I'm very excited about it.
Great. So you are one of the co-designers.
Yes. Yep. Myself and Daryl Chow designed the game.
Great. And do you guys live near each other? How did this come about, this co-design partnership?
It's actually quite funny. So Daryl Chow, at the time we started working on it, Daryl lived in Ottawa and I lived in Toronto, which is about a 4-hour drive. It's quite a distance. And now Daryl lives in Singapore. So we've been doing a lot of our last minute notes and tweaks with a 9-hour time difference between us. I thought Ottawa was far, but Singapore is even farther.
Yeah, that's good. So how has that gone with the, have you guys done a lot of Skype calling or have you just met up other places or how has that worked?
Well, originally we, Daryl would come to Toronto once in a while and I belong to a great group here in Canada called the Game Artisans of Canada. And we've got chapters all over. We've got chapters from London, Ontario, Vancouver, Calgary, you know, right across Canada. And there's an Ottawa chapter and a Toronto chapter. And we would get together regularly to play test games. And so at one point I had tabled a new design of mine, and Daryl was playing it. And Daryl said, you know, it's okay. I really like this little bit here. And I have an idea how you could use this in like a bigger game that I've kind of been working on. He said, would you like to co-design? So we did. And we started working on it together. And we did a lot of we did some Skype calls and we did a lot of messaging back and forth and sending of files. And he would play test in Ottawa and I'd play test in Toronto.
So when did you guys start working on the Artemis project?
It was, I'd say, 3 or 4 years ago. It's actually been quite a while. Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, we came up with the first version. We had been talking, and then we were in a car driving from Ottawa to another member of the Game Artisans would hold a weekend retreat at a cottage in the Gatineaus in Quebec. And so we were driving, and over the course of that 2.5-hour drive, we smashed out a lot of our initial thoughts that we had, and he was writing up cards on little pieces of paper in the back. And when we got to this weekend retreat, we actually had a version 2 table. After about 2 hours, and we put it on the table and played it 3 times that night and made some changes in between. And since then, maybe 4 years ago, it's gone through many, many iterations and developments.
Yeah, we played a version of it last year, and yes, then we played again this year, and we really, really enjoyed it. It's a, I guess, dice placement and displacement game. For our listeners who aren't familiar with the project, could you just explain very quickly what the game is about?
Sure. Well, we are colonists settling on the moon of Europa, and you are bringing in colonists and you are trying to collect resources, energy, and minerals from the surface and below the surface. And while you're there, you're going off on expeditions as well. You're building buildings to house those colonists and to create the most successful colony on the surface of Europa. That's the basic gist of the game. The dice placement, displacement that you mentioned, it's everyone has a set of dice that they roll and they place to the different areas of the board to do different actions. But what's interesting is that in some of the sections, when you place a die to one of the areas, any higher placed dice are placed to the, oh, I'm getting confused now. Look at the board upside down. They're placed to the left of it. Sorry, to the right of it. Higher dice are placed to the right. And then when you resolve the dice, you begin from the left, so that lower dice are going to be resolved first and get resources or colonists. The higher dice have the possibility of being squeezed out.
So was that the mechanic that Daryl really liked, or was there something else in the game that caught his eye?
That has always been the core of the game. A lot has changed around that, but that was the core bit. The game I had designed was called Outposts, and it was an island, and you were setting up outposts to guard the various regions of this island. And you placed dice in a tower. You would stack them on the board. And the way they resolved was from the bottom up. And he rightly said, it's a little fiddly. And if somebody bumps the table, it's all going to, you know, fall apart. So he said, let's just line them up. Let's just line up the dice on the board. And we started to create the different theme and the different specific areas so that they weren't all generic areas. And he brought a lot to the game and a lot of collaboration back and forth and brought it to what it was.
So when after you burned development for how long before you brought it to Grand Gamers Guild, or can you tell us sort of how that all came about?
Sure. It was we had worked on it, and it was in really good shape. And as we played it with a lot of other designers who said, this is a great game. This game's ready. And so we were fortunate that we had two designers, Sen Fung Lim and Joshua Capel, who were going to the Gathering of Friends. Of course, we weren't invited, but they were going, and they said, we'll take this game and we'll pitch it for you. So they were really great. They took this game and pitched it to a number of publishers and got some really good feedback. But in the end, it was picked up by another company who actually offered us a contract. And we were very excited about that. But the communication wasn't quite there, and so we didn't feel right about it. And I went to, while we were sitting on this contract, I went to Protospiel Chelsea in Michigan. And I had met Mark there. He was, Helena Capel arranged a meeting for the two of us. He said, you two got to meet. You really like each other. And so he booked a half an hour session with me. And he said, what have you got? What can we play? And so I played a couple games. And he's like, yeah, these are good. And I said, well, I've got one more, but let's play it, see what you think. And he absolutely loved it. And we continued playing that one. And by the end of that session, he said, I want to take this home. And I had just such a great feeling about Mark and his passion for the game and what he really saw in it that I went back to Daryl and I said, you know, this contract we've got, I don't think it's right. Let's hold out. And thank goodness we did. Mark has been fantastic with this game.
Very cool. So tell me about the Kickstarter campaign. This will be launching on September 12th. Is that correct?
Yes, on Kickstarter, September 12th.
So do you know anything for our listeners that you find special? Are there special like stretch goals that you're excited about, or anything that you would like to tell our listeners?
For sure, yeah. So right now, the game was originally designed for 2 to 4 players. And at a certain point in the last year, we said, well, if we can go to 5, let's go to 5. So we've been working on that. It works extremely well with 2 to 5 players. The game scales well through all the areas on the board. I think the first big stretch goal is going to be add the components for the 5th player, which would be great.
Oh, that's great.
There's also, within the game, there are expeditions, there are buildings, there are events. The game comes with a number of those, so I think for stretch goals, we're going to develop more of each of those. So there'll be more events, there'll be, wilder expeditions, there'll be, certain other artifacts that will be added in the development and through stretch goals. And the final thing is that we're also currently working on solo rules for the game. So we're testing that. I know a lot of people love to have a solo version of the game. So we've been working on that furiously, and we're going to look at adding that as well.
Well, I am really excited about what you're bringing to the Kickstarter. I know one of the things I really enjoyed about the game was the amount of flexibility you have with the dice, that you can find different places to play them. So if you feel like you rolled poorly, you still have lots of options.
Yeah, there was always that feeling that we didn't want a game where you felt like you had to roll really well. You know, you're like, oh, I rolled ones. What am I going to do with these? There's literally, you can find some way to use your dice everywhere. There's also that flexibility of having the tools, and you can cleverly adjust your dice, not just to get more, but to bump somebody out, to really kind of manipulate the order of who gets resources and how many.
So do you know how much the game will cost on Kickstarter?
I'm not entirely sure of that at this point. That I don't know. But
that's okay. Yeah. And sometimes the co-designers know, sometimes they don't, but that's okay. We'll find out and let our listeners know once we find out more, or actually once the Kickstarter campaign launches, which is not going to be that much longer, because this episode will go live on September the 10th.
Wow.
So just a couple of days before our, as listeners are hearing this. So they'll look forward to that.
Great.
But we wanted to thank you for joining us. And where can people find you online?
Me online? I'm on Facebook. I have a Twitter account, at DanielRocky67. So Rocky is R-O-C-C-H-I, like gnocchi, as my Italian background would say. And you find me there, DanielRocky67 on Twitter or on Facebook. You can find me.
Yeah, we got that wrong on our video, and I apologize for that.
That's all right.
We know how to say your last name. And but you made a great game with Daryl, and we really appreciate that. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for
having me. And we look forward to what you have out in the future.
Super. Thank you
so
much.
Thanks, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It was great having Daniel on the show here, and looking forward to not only the Artemis Project, but some of the other things he has in the works for future board game projects.
All right, so are we ready to roll from here into our Kickstarter conniption?
Let's do it.
All right.
Kickstarter conniption!
Coming September 13th from Gameland Games is Tiny Epic Mechs. This is a programming game. Some people might be averse to that, but it looks like it's actually going to be pretty cool. You play four cards and you resolve them all at the same time. You all resolve your first card, you all resolve your second, and so on. And there is a weapon triangle, I don't know if you're familiar with that, where there's three types of weapons, I believe they're different colors, and each one is powerful in a rock, paper, scissors sort of thing against
maybe
another
like
one.
The musical triangle as a weapon? I was getting excited for a second.
But one of the weapons will also counter it. So what you want to do is, there's some sort of aspect of area control to it, because it's like this arena battle, and you get points based on how much of the area you're controlling. So you want to capture as much territory as possible, play your countering weapon when people attack you, and then hit them for some major damage with your weapon that they're vulnerable to. So definitely check it out from Gameland Games, September 13th. Tiny Epic Mechs.
Now, wait a second.
Yeah.
Do you actually put your little meeples inside of these plastic
I thought it was just
suits?
Like a mech, but it's actually a mech suit that you put meeples into.
That's cool.
It is a very nice touch.
That's
really cool. And they're like they're not all the same either. There's like the elemental battle suit mechs, and then there's ones that are bigger and they're like in a cockpit.
It's
very pleasing to the eye.
That sounds cool. I know that nobody knows this off the top of their heads, I don't think, but how many Tiny Epic games are there out there now?
Oh.
5 or 6?
Is that it?
Surely there's more than that.
It seems like more. I don't really know.
Can anyone name them off?
There's Defenders.
Western.
Yeah, the Tiny Epic.
Galaxy.
Yep.
What was that one we all voted on that I can't remember?
Was that Zombies?
Zombies.
Zombies.
Quest.
Tiny Epic Quest, yeah.
Yep. So there's like 5.
Did we say Mechs?
And now there's 6. Mechs.
Okay.
Yeah, there might be one more.
What's the very first one?
Tiny Epic Galaxies, wasn't it?
No.
Defenders was the first one? Yeah. Anyway.
Somebody's going to Google
that. Like,
but
yeah.
They've done a really excellent job of, like, I think, adding little new things to it, like the mechs, like the being able to hold your guns and stuff like that. I think that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
I love how they can do that many things in one tiny little universe. I'm impressed. Good job. Keep it up.
Tiny Epic Universe.
Tiny Epic Universe. All right, so we're looking at the next game up is Z War 1 Exodus from Dice Sports. This is kind of a sequel, I guess, to a game that they put out a little while back. It is a standalone, though. It's its own thing. It's for 1 to 5 players. It takes about 60 to 80 minutes. It's a strategic movement game where you've got your little tableau in front of you with weapons and tools that you're collecting, and you're fighting zombies. And the coolest part about this game is that the tabletop that you're playing on is not an abandoned castle or a boring cave. It's actually like the boat docks.
Whoa.
And you've got like all your little shipping containers that you can hide your guys behind to avoid stuff. And you've got boats that are in the dock, and you've got the warehouse that's on the land. So pretty cool, pretty clever play area.
Hmm.
It's got a bunch of minis. They don't look like they're mind-blowing or anything. They're pretty much zombies and people walking around trying to kill each other. But the playmat and everything else that goes with it is very cool. It actually reminded me a little bit. You guys did an RPG a little while back where you had like boats with multiple levels to it or something.
Oh, yeah.
That looked very cool.
This it was looks cool.
Even cooler. So maybe you guys need to check this one out.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
very interesting concept for moving around and different stuff. So pretty cool. Check it out. Exodus from Dice Games. Nope, Dice something.
Dice Sports.
Dice Sports. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I am looking at the game B, Lives
Matter.
Yes. And so this is from designer Matt Shoemaker and publishers Hit Him With a Shoe.
Hit Him With a Shoe!
All right, and this is a...
But not the bees.
Yes,
but I feel like that's pretty dedicated. Like, your publishing name is dedicated to the name of your first game. Way to rock it.
Yes.
But they want to do ants next.
Ooh, maybe. Or, maybe.
Or spiders.
Or husbands. Or.
So, Bee Lives is a 1-4 player Euro game where you are using your resources and worker placements, meeples, to gain resources for your own hive so that by the end of the summer, after working all summer long, you will have enough resources to make it through the winter, just like a normal beehive would.
Cool.
So you are trying to gain enough stuff for your own beehive and see who has the best chance of surviving the winter. So this looks like something that would be fun and educational for kids, since it seems like everything is pretty...
It's got a pretty long playtime, though. They're saying 120 minutes. That's pretty intense.
Yeah. 2 hours. Wow, yeah. That's pretty intense.
I like the artwork for it. It looks like a Winnie the Pooh book cover or something. Like, very...
Maybe you can
it's
buy this
It's got a very
for...
nice kids' illustration style.
You can do this for homeschooling.
Yeah.
Here we go. This we'll is, try it out.
This would be a good supplement for homeschooling families. Kevin, what would you... How would you have next?
Well, before... I'm going to talk about two real quick, but before I talk about those two...
What?
I know, I'm sorry.
Four more later.
I'm going to slip one in here. There's actually a box right here on the table. Draconis Invasion, Wrath. Mm-hmm. Will and Sarah did a video review of this.
A little while back, yeah.
Yeah, and actually it's going live.
Oh, okay.
So cool. When you hear this, check out Draconis Invasion, Wrath on Kickstarter by Keji Incorporated, and check out Will and Sarah's video on that. Yeah, but we missed it last week, and I wanted to just throw that in there because I just found out it's going on Kickstarter. The other game that I just wanted to mention briefly is Everdell. This has been a pretty popular game.
About that
it's
one.
Got this really cool, like, tree fortress. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's got this three-dimensional tree that you're basically placing your stuff on. And this is from Starlight Games, and it's coming... Oh, they're reprinting it, and they're bringing an expansion to Kickstarter. And I'm not really sure what the expansion brings, but I'm sure it's going to bring more stuff to the game. And it's coming on September 10th on Kickstarter. And the game I really want to talk about...
Good, let's hear about that one.
And Kevin keeps talking.
Sorry. September 12th is the Artemis Project. Uh-huh. So, real quick, as just a rundown for you, I know we talked about at the interview, but it was just missed here and there about the actual project. But it's a 2-4 player dice placement, almost displacement game with some resource management and some other things mechanically. But Melissa and I really had a good time playing it, and it takes about an hour, maybe a little longer than an hour to play. And they're looking at making it a 1-5 player game. So right now it's 2-4, but with some stretch goals, I think they're going to make it a little longer. This is coming out from Grand Gamers Guild, and the designers are Daryl Chow and Daniel Rocky.
Yeah. And we have a video already live, so you can see a little bit about how it plays. Yes.
Melissa, what do you have?
I'm looking at Into the Black Forest, published by Green Couch Games. So it's going to be a small little card game.
Small box game.
Designed by Jason...
Slingerland.
Slingerland.
Yes,
that guy.
And it's for 2-4 players, plays in about 30 minutes to 45 minutes. It uses hand management and area influence. This is a game that Kevin and I have actually played and we'll be putting out a video
for. Today it's out.
Oh, the video is out today. So you can watch it. But each player has a deck of 12 cards that are numbered from 1 to 12. And you're going to draw 6 of them. And you're going to have to play them into an encounter. And this encounter card scores... cards different ways. At the bottom of the card, the lowest card will score, but the number of points you get is the higher card laid there. So if I lay a 2 and Kevin lays a 5, I will win with my 2, but I'll get 5 points. Mm-hmm. So there's some
balancing between
balancing with the scoring, and then there's at the top of the card it's like that, except the highest.
So someone will play a 12 there, but then I'll play a 1, so that the 12 wins, but they only get 1 point.
Or maybe you can play in one of those areas, and people are playing other cards, so then you can play the second card in that area.
That's sneaky.
And so, I play my 1, which is the lowest, and then I play a 12, so I get 12 points.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of decisions about where to play your cards.
It feels like a trick-taking game, because you're like, when do I play the right cards at the right time?
Cool.
So. And certain cards get discarded, and certain cards come back to your hand, so there's a lot of strategy about which cards you play into which area. And we've had a lot of fun with it. We played it 2-player, we played it 4-player. Yeah. Interesting experiences. That is Into the Black Forest by Green Couch Games.
All right.
Katie.
So I'm looking at Dusk, Arena of Shadows. Ooh. Is coming September 12th. Now we will have a playthrough video and a preview video.
Yes.
For this. So check those out on our YouTube channel. But this game is a tactical movement game where the setting is after humanity has died, all you have left are phantoms. Mm-hmm. And what do they hunt now that the humans are gone? Each other. So you've got these like monster type characters who are hunting each other, and they're using their special abilities. So you build a deck of cards before the game starts using special abilities, your chosen weapon for your character. And then you have what I'm reluctant to call miniatures.
Yeah, they're not minifigures, they're regular figures.
They really are.
Miniatures, they're very tall.
How tall? They're probably six or seven inches tall.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, so they're very large. I'm like super excited to try to paint these.
For you millimeter people, it's like 150 millimeters high.
Is that good conversion there?
Metric.
I know. So anyway, so you're tactically moving these around on a hex grid, and you are using the cards either to, like, every card has like an option for movement, or an option maybe for attacking, or special abilities that card may give you.
It's really cool.
And so, yeah, it's got some really neat stuff, and it's really very thematic. Mm-hmm. When we played through it, when we did our playthrough video, we played 2 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play it as individual players, or you can play it with teams. And I like the team battle, because then I could just go in there and do something crazy and Ryan would back me up. Whereas if I did that on my own, I probably would have lost really fast.
Yeah.
Interesting.
One time Melissa and I played, and I think I just went like really like whole hog, just trying to kill her real fast. And so I went really close and did lots of damage on her. But then I didn't have like anything left, so that she was able to tactically like just whittle me down and basically kill me.
That is a hard, like, you don't know, like, you have a hand of cards and you can play kind of however many cards you want, but then you also defend with those same cards. So if you spend all of your cards attacking like one person, you may get taken out because you have no defense.
Yeah.
So
and just
really
the varied options you have here. You have tons of options for the different weapons and skill cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And each deck of weapons and skills are quite different from the next deck. And then even within each weapon, say the Warhammer, for instance, you have several options there. You're only going to take 4 of the 8 or 9 cards out of it. So depending on how you build your deck, it's going to be a very different game every time you play.
Yeah. But even with the asymmetricalness of the game, of those cards, I feel like it's balanced.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't feel like anybody had a major advantage over anybody else.
That was because I was playing very stealthily.
Ryan was being being kind.
Ryan was being kind in the playthrough video, but don't even hear that here.
I just find that it's interesting that one of the weapons is actually a violin.
Really?
What?
Yes. One of them is a violin.
Frequency death?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of different lore that's in these, and the figures are just really
well. I know, he calls them mantelpiece miniatures because, like, he wants them to be able to be put on your mantle.
On display. Yeah. Well, they're definitely big enough for that. So, yeah, anyway, so that's Dusk Arena of Shadows, and that is coming September 12th to Kickstarter.
Cool. September 12th is... not a significant date in my mind.
It's 10 days till our library game day.
That's what I was looking for. Good transition,
on September 22nd. We're going to have a big library game day at the Greenville Main Library. We're going to have Boardwalk there, and they're going to bring some games, and we're going to do some learn to play. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier in the episode, and then we scared everybody off and sent them home.
Yeah.
And then we played some games before we scared them off.
That's right.
Yeah. Do we want to recap some of those real quick? So we played a couple different ones tonight. I saw you guys were playing Railroad Rivals.
Yeah, that's the new one from Forbidden Games by Glenn Drover. And we played a five-player game where we're bidding and speculating on the railroads, and we're laying tiles in a map and then moving goods using those, driving up the stock prices. So.
I was a little concerned five player with a game. Sarah knew how to play, but no one else knew how to play. I was like, oh, this is going to be like a really long game. But it wasn't. I mean, it was very simple mechanics and easy to understand. So I feel like this could be a very good game for a gateway type game. Mm-hmm. So
is it coming to Kickstarter, or is it published?
It's already published.
It already funded on Kickstarter.
Okay. The artwork for it looks really cool. I was jealous that you guys were in here having fun because it was looking pretty on the table.
We had our own fun.
I did have my own fun, but I want to have all the fun.
So you and John Emery and Larry and others.
And we got everybody. We played several different games, actually. We played one of our group favorites, which is Don't Mess with Cthulhu.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
John hadn't played that yet. And then Ben, I think, had watched one of our playthroughs when he was shooting it. And he was like, yeah, I want to try that out.
So, we're bringing him into the fold.
That's right. Slowly.
Ben and Sabrina, come to the side. We have cookies.
That's right.
And I won my first game of Good Critters with the same group.
Yep, pull that on next.
Whoa! What happened? it felt really good being able to actually skim off the top.
Yeah.
And not have everybody in front of me get it.
Yeah. That was a good one because it plays like eight players.
Oh, wow.
And I think that was the most the boss token has ever moved when I played. Yeah, like
it was constantly moving. Like nobody was the boss like more than two or three times in a row.
Yeah, we had a lot of ties where we get equal number of yes and no votes.
And then it automatically moves.
Yeah, I think we had it up to like 14 or 16 cards that were trying to be distributed among people, and we're like, okay, just vote yes this time. We gotta keep going.
We're never gonna get to the funds. Yeah, that was cool. And then we played Picto something.
Pictomania.
From Pictorama,
CGE.
Pictomania
from CGE.
That was a lot of fun.
We got Ben and Sabrina, Will and Sarah, and Katie.
That's kind of cool because we did a playthrough of this last weekend, and
I did much better than the playthrough. I do have to say.
It's because I wasn't there drawing. Really terribly.
And Ben was the one that said, bring it to game
night. Yeah, he was like, let's do it. I want to play that one.
Thanks, Ben.
So we had we had a good time playing. Ben actually got pretty close to winning, too. There were several times he, like, illustrated something. We're like, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. I wasn't really familiar with that, so I just kind of made something up. We're like, well...
You got it close enough that
some people got it right.
Some of the words are crazy hard on that. We played the, I don't know what they're called, the red insane hard card levels.
Yeah, I know.
There was like, what was my word? Not hallucinations.
Transcendence.
Transcendence. I got it, though. I won't tell you what I drew, but everybody guessed it.
Yeah. I had... The card I had were that all was really economic. I had the word trustee, but there was also...
Inheritor
and debtor and other...
Embezzler.
She had like 37 illustrations.
I drew the whole page covered with things to try and help.
Dollar signs, caskets, people, tractors, cars. I don't even know what was going on.
There was a police car on there. Sarah just kept saying, we're like, what's yours? We're like, Sarah, let's see yours. She goes, don't look at it yet. I'm not finished. We're like, well, she's got a whole movie plotted out here.
It's going
well. And then we introduced John. While you guys were playing Pictomania, we introduced John to Orbis.
Yeah,
from Space Cowboy Games. I really like it. And I don't know if I say I'm not a fan of Splendor. Splendor's like okay for me. I mean, it's to me it's very one note. It's very just like I'm getting jewels or whatever to get the things. It's like very linear.
Yes.
But Orbis, I feel like it takes a familiarity of that people would have with Splendor and builds upon that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like how things are moving and there's different paths you can take.
It's definitely more complex with the scoring and your basically deities each building your own universe, and so you have different islands that you are taking to build this pyramid of tiles.
So how you do that and getting the different cubes and things like that throughout the game is more interactive for me and more decision making, which I like in a game, but not too much. I think people that have played Splendor could pick this up super easily. I would say if they've never played a board game before, it would be okay, but I would say I would introduce them to other gateway games.
It's probably Gateway Plus.
Yeah, Gateway maybe. Plus.
Gateway Plus.
Yes.
I like it. What did John think?
Yeah, he really liked it. So he said he saw it in some magazine, and so he was interested in learning more about it. Yeah,
it's not available till October.
Yeah, I think it's an Essen release.
Yeah. So John is the owner of Boardwalk, our local board game store. We might have said that earlier in the episode. We talked to him a little bit tonight, too, about our coming Tantrum Con.
Tantrum Con!
Yeah! And he sounds like those guys are on board with us, so they'll be at the event for sure, bringing some games and some fun and
other stuff.
Yeah, so that should be really cool. We've had some good meetings this week. I met with Monica from our team, and she was at Dragon Con this week. I saw a bunch of people were down there.
Like, yes.
You guys were having all kinds of fun without us. And she had a booth down there. She was passing out materials and things for Tantrum Con and for
Meeples at Sea.
Yeah.
Meeples at Sea. I saw that. I was like, oh, that's a neat idea.
Yeah, we need to get on that next year.
Yeah, we do.
She said she had
to get that.
A lot of people who were excited about Tantrum Con.
Good.
And I think we got to start brainstorming now because I've already had people ask me this question. She had a lot of people ask her this question.
Talk to us, Will. What's up?
So Tantrum has its implications. And I think a lot of people want to know, like, what do you do at Tantrum Con? Do you get to, like, throw tantrums?
Or do you get to flip tables?
Yeah, what's going to happen here? So I think, I don't know if we need to either get, like, a padded room or, I don't know, we might have to vote on it. I don't know, we got to figure it out. But I think, I'm already excited about, like, I think the end of Tantrum Con, there needs to be some kind of tantrum thing. I don't know what it's going to be yet.
Yeah.
But we're going to video it. It's going to be amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah. And everybody's going to remember it from year to year. Okay. I don't know what it is. Like breaking a piano with a sledgehammer or okay. I don't know. We'll figure out something thematic.
Oh my. That might be expensive.
We're going to do a board game.
A board game with a sledgehammer. That could be a thing. We got to like give people to sign waivers and wear safety glasses. we'll pull it off. But if you guys have ideas,
let us know.
Yeah, send him the hello at Tantrum House or something, because it's going to happen. I'm making it happen.
Okay, go for it.
And you can learn more about Tantrum Con at tantrumcon.com.
With an N and an M at the end.
That's right.
Yeah, go check that out. Tickets are on sale right now. And through the end of this month, you're going to get your best deal for the year. It's 10% off right now. In October, those prices will go up. So get your tickets now. Register. Let us know. Follow us on our Tantrum Con event page on Facebook. There's already some chatter over there. We'd love to have you guys comment and share some stuff with your friends and tell everybody about it. We are pumped. Details are coming together. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, February 15th, 16th, and 17th, if we didn't say that. Of 2019.
We'll probably say that over and over. You guys will know it to a T. Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Hope you guys had a great time. We looked at a bunch of different games and had some cool interviews and things in there. So I think we had another successful episode.
Sure.
You see how my voice went up there at the end? Every time. Count on it. See you guys next time.
Bye.
TentureCon!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!